whispers, but the mention of Raphael Locke, Viscount Linfield, made her look at him. She'd known he was there in the foyer, bidding some of his acquaintances goodbye, or possibly leaving as well. He was the first person she'd noticed when she reached the stairs, but then a man as handsome as the Norford heir had drawn her notice from the moment she'd first glanced at him. She'd even considered him briefly for a husband, before she'd gotten re-engaged to Duncan MacTavish. But Locke had obviously gone over to the enemy camp, the camp that thought the worst of her. What had he called her? A spiteful rumor-monger. He'd even threatened to ruin her if she told anyone she thought that he'd been betting Sabrina Lambert. She had thought it was true. Why else was he paying so much attention to that little wren Sabrina? But he could have just told her she was mistaken, instead of insulting her. And she wished it had been anyone but him who'd caught her crying upstairs. "How are we getting home?" Sadie whispered when they reached the bottom of the stairs.
"In my coach, of course," Ophelia replied.
"Your coach doesn't have a driver. The blasted man hasn't returned yet." Ophelia had forgotten about that. Her father's man hadn't wanted to bring her back to Yorkshire in the first place, and once they'd arrived here after much persuasion on her part, he had insisted he'd lose his job if he didn't return to London post-haste to let her parents know where she had run off to. As if she hadn't intended to send off a note to them herself. In due time. When she stopped being so furious about that slap her father had given her after Duncan had broken their first engagement and they'd all been ousted from Summer's Glade.
"We'll just have to borrow one of the Marquis's footmen, I suppose. That fellow bringing down my trunks will do. You can inform him while I wait in the parlour."
She would have preferred to wait outside, away from the Marquis's remaining guests, but while she'd already donned her travelling coat, it was designed to flatter her figure, not to provide warmth, and in the heart of winter it was simply too cold to stand outside for any length of time. But since it appeared that most of the guests were in the foyer waiting for their own coaches to be brought around, she hoped the parlour would be empty. She moved into that room. It wasn't empty. The occupant was the one person she'd hoped never to see again, Mavis Newbold, her one-time best friend, now her worst enemy. And it was too late to find a different place to wait. Mavis had noticed her.
"Running away with your tail between your legs?" Mavis smirked.
Oh, God, not again. Hadn't her former friend said enough when she'd arrived to prevent what everyone involved considered a tragic marriage? Apparently not.
"Hardly,"
Ophelia replied, her emotions well in hand now. Her old friend was not going to make her cry again.
"How galling it must have been for you to do me that favour today, so I wouldn't have to marry the Scotsman."
"I told you I didn't do it for you. You're the last person I'd ever help."
"Yes, yes, I know. You were playing the heroine just for Duncan's sake. But you still saved me from having to marry him. I suppose I should thank you."
"Don't,"
Mavis snarled, the curls on her head shaking.
"No more pretenses, Feely. We both hate each other."
"Stop it," Ophelia cut in sharply before the wound opened again.
"You don't have your audience now to revile me in front of, so the truth, if you please. You were the only real friend I ever had, and you know it. I loved you. If I didn't, I wouldn't have tried to protect you from Lawrence by showing you the truth about him. But you preferred to blame me for his perfidy. And how did you put it? That the only reason you continue to abide my presence is you were waiting all this time to witness my downfall? And you called me spiteful."
"I told you I barely recognize myself anymore," Mavis said defensively. "But that's your fault. You made me so bitter that I don't even like myself."
"No, I didn't. He did. Your precious Lawrence, who used you to get close to me."
"There, I finally said it. I tried to spare you that, too. He was begging me to marry him all the while he was courting you. But I'm done protecting you from the truth, Mavis."
"You're such a liar. And yet you branded me one in front of our friends."
"Oh, so now they're friends again, those two leeches? When you pointed out today that Jane and Edith are no friends of mine..." "As if I don't know that."
"And you provoked me that day I called you a liar. You know you did. How long did you think I'd continue to put up with your catty, snide remarks without retaliating? You know better than anyone how little patience I have.